Matsui.
May it please the court, Brian Matsui on behalf of Kamunda AG. The Commission's determination of non-infringement and the absence of domestic industry should be reversed. The ALJ's decision rested entirely upon an erroneous construction of the etching step of the fabrication process of microchips. Rather than recognize that this etching step required only that a sufficient amount of the exposed insulating material over the active regions be removed.
But that isn't what the claim says. It says removing the exposed portion.
Yes, Your Honor. It says removing the, and
doesn't that mean you remove it all?
No, Your Honor. The use of the definite article the is merely referring to where the etching is to occur in both claims 1 and claims 22. We would suggest that the Commission in its red brief.
How does that help you? You still have to remove all of whatever is at that location, which is the exposed portion, don't you?
No, Your Honor. It merely indicates that you need to remove a sufficient amount because there is a next element, the planarization step, which actually exposes the active regions. In claim one, that's made very clear because it says the planarization step exposes the active regions. It would be unnecessary to say that if the etching step, the removing step, was the moment in which the active regions actually had to be exposed. We think that in the red brief, the Commission sets forth a good analogy as why removing the doesn't always have to mean all. It really depends upon the context of the instruction as a whole. It says removing the snow. Well, removing the snow in the context of a road to clear the road wouldn't mean removing every single snowflake from the road. It would be understood by someone of ordinary skill in the art to be removing a sufficient amount to allow cars to pass. It would still be it could still allow a small layer of snow for cars to drive over. There could be snow on the shoulders or in between lanes. That's the same thing that should occur here with respect to the 899 patent and these claims. The purpose of the invention in this case is to reduce the amount of time it takes to planarize the surface of the substrate, and it does in order to prevent the excess erosion of oxide between the shallow isolation trenches. In particular, the written description makes this very clear. In the summary of the invention in column
Wouldn't
3...
Wouldn't it make more sense to say the planarizing step is just removing the remaining unexposed portions?
Well, no, Your Honor, because all you need to... From the written description, it makes clear that you're trying to remove an amount sufficient to reduce the amount of time it takes
for
the planarization step.
Where does that occur in the specification?
So in column 6, starting at line 50,
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It says, typically the amount of oxide that is removed from the active regions is sufficient to effectively shorten the CMP step, the planarization step. And this is noting that a few lines up at line 50, in one embodiment, shortening the CMP step is achieved by selectively removing portions of the oxide from the triangular shape oxide regions above the active areas. In addition, in the summary of invention, in column 3, line 56, the specification teaches that portions of the insulating layer is selectively removed, enabling the subsequent planarization step, which exposes the active regions, to be shortened. And so it's the planarization step that should be understood in claims 1 and claims 22 to actually require that the active regions be exposed. What the ALJ did in this case...
I'm not clear. I had the same concern that I think the chief had. The unexposed insulating material above the active region is what is removed during the planarizing step. Am I wrong or right?
That is where insulating material is to be removed. And it's
right,
it's
the
directing.
Unexposed insulating material, not the exposed.
No, the exposed insulating material is supposed to be removed during the etching step.
Right.
And then after you remove the inverse active layer mass, then they planarize the entire surface.
What I'm
of
not
the
understanding is why I thought your argument was that the ITC's construction of the exposed limitation makes the planarizing stuff not work or not be operative, or I thought that was your argument.
It effectively requires that it's the planarizing step that is the step that requires that all the oxide be removed and that the active regions be fully exposed.
And but if you'd removed the exposed portion before, wouldn't that make the planarization step go quicker, the whole purpose of this invention?
Certainly, that would be one way to achieve it, but it says an amount sufficient. It doesn't say all of that. If the patentee had intended for all of that exposed portion above the active regions to be removed, it could have said so. But it's better understood as indicating where the removal is supposed to happen to ensure that the purpose of the invention is achieved, which is to reduce the amount of time that the planarization step takes to prevent the oxide erosion.
Would that require that all of that be removed at that point?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Would that require all of the planarization be removed, the oxide, which is the insulation portion?
Yes, Your Honor. At the planarization step, there would not be any of the oxide remaining over the active regions. That's the step in which the patent ensures that all, in effect, all is actually removed. It's not the etching step where it's directing where it actually has to occur. And what happened in this case with respect to the ALJ is it read removing the as removing all, and as the snow example explains, that doesn't necessarily have to mean the case. It depends upon the purpose of the invention. And in addition, it basically created a limitation from an embodiment disclosed in the patent. At A152 of the ID, the ALJ notes the detailed description of the invention makes clear the invention's purpose is achieved by using, for example, an RIE, which is described as an oxide selective. This is an oxide selective etching method. And it goes on for several pages discussing how the RIE etching method is the type of removing that occurs at that step. The RIE etching method, by being oxide selective, uses the resist or the base of the substrate as an etch stop. And so in that particular embodiment, it might remove all of that exposed insulating material, but that's not required by the claims themselves. The claims themselves don't recite anywhere that you have to use an RIE etching method or that you have to use an oxide selective etching method. And the written description more generally does not discuss the RIE etching method as the type of etching method that must be used in the removing step. So we think that under this court's precedent, it's very clear that the ALJ imported a requirement in a particular embodiment and created a limitation in the claims. We also think that that's exactly what the commission has done in its red brief. On page 10 of its red brief, it goes through a series of steps in the removal process in the planarization process, and it says the next step, as shown below, is the reactive ion etching, the RIE process. And so what has happened here is that this particular embodiment and the limitation has been imposed to create a limitation in the claim language, which
that might be. A little more persuasive, though, sir, if it weren't for the claim language that says exposing the removing the exposed portion. And that's the difficulty I'm having. I mean, all of that might be somewhat persuasive, but you've got the broad claim language that doesn't limit it to a part of. I mean, you say the commission imported the word all, but you're trying to import the word some. That's the way I'm reading it.
If that is the case, then one should be looking at the written description and the surrounding claim language to determine what actually is required by that etching step. And if it's clear, which we submit it is, that removing the does not mean removing all the, or at least it doesn't have to mean removing all the to a person of ordinary skill in the art, then the specification and the written description support our argument by discussing a portion of it being removed and discussing the planarization step as the point at which the active areas are actually exposed.
Is the RIE etching method the only method of removing the exposed portion?
No, there are other types of etching methods that could be used. And as we note in our reply brief, one fact is that a prolonged etching step using something that would not be an oxide selective etching method or the REI would could have the problem of damaging the base of the substrate.
Do you have any embodiment in your specification that only removes some of that exposed portion?
We say that the general description, there's not a specific embodiment that goes through in detail like the one that uses the oxide selective etching method. But the language of the written description in and of itself describes that the purpose is only to remove a portion, with the idea behind it to reduce the amount of time it takes in the subsequent planarization step to prevent any oxide erosion. If I may reserve the remainder of my time for a vote.
You may. Are we going to hear first from Mr. Rosenzweig?
Very good, Your Honor. Thank you, Mr. Chief Judge, and may it please the court. We're not here to judge the plain meaning of a patent specification that was written before the claims as issued were twice rejected and narrowed by the patent examiner during prosecution. The commission submits that the plain language of the claims here is easily understood by persons of ordinary skill in the art and really by any reader of these patent claims.
But we would have to agree with you that the reading that the administrative law judge made for the word "the," meaning all, right?
Yes, Your Honor. That removing
is that
the
a proper interpretation of "the."
"The" is a definite article. Removing the exposed portion of the insulating material to an ordinary reader means removing all of it. And under this court's
removing the snow from the road.
Removing the snow from the road. We noted in our brief, Your Honor, that maybe there was an impossibility limitation, that if you paid someone to remove snow and their snow remained between the granules of asphalt in your driveway, that maybe that was sufficient, like a matter of substantial performance of contract. The commission believes that removing all the snow means removing all. Removing all the limitation means removing all. Maybe there's an issue of doctrine of equivalence, but Kimanda here did not actually ever argue doctrine of equivalence.
But it is somewhat inconsistent to say that removing the snow from the driveway means removing all of the snow from the driveway, isn't it? If, in fact, you allow a residual amount to remain in the driveway.
We don't believe, I mean, we could get into substantial performance of contract. We don't believe that it's inconsistent. We do believe that maybe there's an alternative construction of remove the, which means remove all that you possibly can until you reach a point of impossibility.
Why not remove all that is sufficient to achieve the purpose, which is where they'd like to go?
Well, where they'd like to go, which is set forth, I think, most clearly at page 5 of their reply brief, is that the portion sufficient means any, that the uppermost molecular layer of insulation is the only exposed part of the insulation, and removal of that single molecular layer is thereby sufficient to,
I don't think we have to overstate either side's case. How do you deal with the part of the specification that Mr. Matsui showed us at column 6, where it says the amount of oxide removed is sufficient to shorten the CMP step, planarization step?
I think that portion of the specification is consistent with the originally filed patent claim here. There was originally one patent claim. It didn't discuss how or to what extent the insulation was going to be removed. Then even after that patent claim was rejected and the applicant added a whole bunch of patent claims, the amendments to claim 1 were still consistent with that column 6. The claim that issued as claim 22 was more specific and included removing the removing the silicon oxide in the exposed regions. And then the examiner rejected claim 1 again, and the applicant and instructed the applicant to include all the limitations of claims 1 through 6 if the applicant wanted the claim to be allowed. And dependent claim 5 in the application included the removing the exposed portion of the insulating material over the active regions. We submit, Your Honors, that "the" is the most, well, it is the most common word in the English language. It's a word that's used 600 times in the patent. It's used 150 times in all the patent claims. Even in asserted claim 22, the claim limitation that follows, the disputed claim limitation here, is removing the photoresist. There's no dispute that all of the photoresist is removed.
But would one of ordinary skill in the art prefer to leave a small layer to protect the substrate during the planarization step? What would ordinary skill in the art understand?
There was evidence, both extrinsic evidence both ways, about what a person of ordinary skill in the art would or would not do. For the respondents here, at page A10019, Dr. Braveman testified that a person of ordinary skill could practice the preferred method here. It requires the use of a somewhat thicker nitride layer than Qimonda would prefer to use in its industrial practices, but that it is practicable. Principally, in its reply brief, Qimonda tries to shift the focus from the word "the" to challenge what's meant by an exposed portion. And I hinted at this before, and I really do believe that they take this molecular portion in their reply brief. We submit that this makes little sense. It really renders superfluous a lot of the claim language here, which we note at page 22, note 11 of our brief. There's no reason to include the exposed portion of language at all in this claim language if that's what Qimonda intended. Qimonda could have instead claimed removing insulating material or removing insulating material over the active regions. There was just no need to add this level of specificity. To the extent that a person of ordinary skill, upon reading the word "the" and removing the exposed portion, had any ambiguity about what the patent meant, and we submit that that person would not. This court's precedents teach to look at the specification, and the specification teaches in its preferred and only embodiment that the exposed portion, all of it, is removed by the etching process and leaves no ambiguity. But then even after looking at that, looking at the prosecution history with the history of narrowing the claims here, makes clear that the patent claims as issued cover what they cover on their face, even without looking at the remaining intrinsic record. If the court has no further questions, thank you.
Let's hear from Mr. Sostek.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. In fact, Your Honor, although it perhaps sounded perhaps like we were overstating the case, at the reply brief of Qimonda at page 5, they did in fact take the position that removing the very surface molecular layer of oxide is sufficient to satisfy the claim removing the exposed oxide at the of the insulating material. And in fact, what they said was at page 5 here the only insulating material that is exposed is the insulating material on the very surface of the insulating layer, which is not overlain by any other material. And whether the whether it be photoresist material or other insulating material. So what they're really saying is the exposed layer, the exposed region, and that exposed portion consists of simply the very topmost layer of oxide at the very top of the insulating material. And if you remove that, that would be sufficient to meet the elements of the claim. They also say, at the start of the removing step, only the molecules at the very surface of the insulating layer, on those sections of the insulating layer, not overlain.
What is the exposed portion? Or is anything above the active surface exposed?
They say only the molecules at the active surface are exposed, and every single other molecule of oxide beneath the surface layer is unexposed, which is what their brief argues, which is what Mr. Rosenberg was alluding to. The reason that creates such problems for them as their position on what the exposed layer means is it basically reads out the preferred embodiment, it reads out all the teachings in the specification, and it reads out all of the figures, not to mention what the inventor said was the major purpose of the claim. If you say that if I eliminate just the very top layer of oxide molecules, that satisfies the claim, then you have to deal with the rest of the claim that says...
But see, we have the problem going the other way. I read the record to say that one of skill in the art wouldn't want to try to remove every last molecule, as you are arguing. They have to get every last molecule off that surface because you've got to an equal chance of damaging the active surface of the substrate. So you wouldn't want to try and scrape down to the bottom of the road because you're going to damage the road.
Well, and actually, no, because it, as the record reveals and as was testified at trial by Dr. Brovman at the section referred to by Mr. Rosenzweig, what the experts testified was that, in fact,
that's what you do. Commanda does, right? It makes sure it doesn't go all the way down because it doesn't want to damage the road.
Well, Commanda's LSI, but what Commanda said is that they don't go all the way down. But in fact, what the experts testified that one of ordinary skill in the art would recognize that the underlying silicon substrate would be a natural etch stop, and that although the etching material would remove all of the insulating material, it would naturally stop at the silicon substrate, which is a different composition of material, and becomes a natural etch stop and makes a clean surface substantially planar, as the claim suggests, at the surface of the substrate, leaving only those triangles in the unexposed portion, as the claim says, which calls for you to then remove the unexposed portion of the triangles in the subsequent planarization step. If, for example, you left all of the oxide except the surface layer, or even a lot of oxide in the regions over the active regions before the planarization step, you go right back to what the prior art told you was problematic about this and what the inventor was trying to circumvent or at least solve as a problem. A lengthy chemical mechanical polishing step to take that oxide out of the exposed area over the active regions would cause the dishing and the degradation to the shell or trench isolation regions that this inventor was trying to circumvent and solve as part of his objective of the claim, which is clearly what Commander recognizes. I think in response to Judge Gayarsha's question, what Mr. Matsui did say was, yes, in fact, at the end of the etch step, all of the oxide is in fact removed, leaving just the unexposed oxide for the planarization step. And that's exactly what the inventor was trying to get you to do, but in order to get there, at that point, what you're doing is you're removing the photoresist through an ashing process so that all you're left with is these little triangles 62 on the figure at 677, and that's the very short planarization step that prevents the harm or degradation to the shallow trench isolation regions, which is exactly what this goal was intended to achieve when the inventor came up with the goal of his invention. So no, in fact, it's not harmful to have the etch go all the way down. There's a natural chemical etch stop, as the court found and as the testifying expert, Dr. Brovman, testified to in the record, and it's not a harm at all. Just like plows don't tear up the road necessarily. Actually, the plow wouldn't tear up the road, but if you use a snowblower with big gouges, you don't want to use that snowblower to tear up the road, which is why you want to clear the road with a plow, and then if there's unexposed portions, like where the cars are parked, when you move the cars, you can use a snowblower to take that portion away, but it's faster, shorter, and it doesn't harm the road because it's a much more, as you know, the CMP process is a combination of chemical and mechanical polishing. It's like a slurry on top of sandpaper, and it is very harmful. So the goal of the invention was to dramatically reduce that by leaving the insulating portion wide open and completely barren when you move to the CMP step.
But their argument would have been much stronger if the claim had not been amended.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Their argument would have been much stronger if the claim had not been amended during prosecution.
Well, if they had not conflated those six elements into one, their claim would have been stronger. But the problem with that is they would have been left with removing the insulating portion with a CMP step, which would have run them directly into the prior art, the Chatterjee, the Poon, the Gocho, and that's what they were trying to circumvent.
That's the reason why they amended it.
That's the reason why they amended it. And that's why the examiner, when he looked at the claim, said, you have to conflate claims 1 through 6, because without that, the portion that you're referring to, removing at least a portion, is completely undefined. We don't know where that portion is. Until you say it's the exposed portion, you have no ability to locate a region that you're supposed to take the insulating material away from. So he said, you have to conflate 1 through 6, because otherwise you're just wandering in the wilderness and you're also running directly into the prior art. So that really was the problem with what they tried to do. So clearly the question that you asked, which is, doesn't the insulating material mean all? Certainly. When I tell my son or my daughter, remove the dishes from the table, and he comes back with 3 dishes and not the 9 that are on the table, I'm not a happy guy. And when I tell my daughter, wash the dishes in the sink, and she doesn't wash all of the dishes in the sink, that's not what I intended. Clearly, the definite article, the, refers to all of the insulating material, and it's only further supported by the fact that the claim says, pattern the mask layer to expose at least a portion of the insulating material from the active regions, and then removing the exposed portion is simply that portion that the mask left exposed. The exposed portion is clearly the entire portion exposed by the mask in the preceding step. I don't believe I need any more time if the court doesn't have further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Sostek. Mr. Matsui, you have about 4.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just have three brief points. I mean, the first is that a person of ordinary skill of the art would understand these instructions differently. And I just want to go back to that. Removing the dishes to the sink would be understood in the context of a parent and the dishes there, whereas removing the exposed insulating material over the active regions must be understood in the context of what somebody of ordinary skill in the art would understand it to be. And here, neither the commission nor the interveners suggest that the RIE etching method is the only type of etching method that can be used. They don't dispute that there are other types of etching methods, and it's clear that if you were to have an etching method that would etch too long for an extended period of time to try to get all of that insulating material removed during the etching step, you could damage the base of the substrate. And that's not the intent of the patentee in this situation. The idea here, as I mentioned before in the written description, was to remove a sufficient amount, which is in column 6 of the written description, to ensure that the subsequent planarization step is
shortened. Point out that probably had reference to an earlier version of the claims and that you amended.
Your Honor, the examiner's notice of allowance issued the patent because of the use of an inverse active area mask. And it's the examiner's statement of allowance stated, the prior art of record does not teach or suggest the claimed invention in which an inverse active area mask is used to remove at least a portion of the insulating layer from the active regions as claimed. So we would submit, Your Honor, that is entirely consistent with our argument. The inverse active area mask was not taught anywhere in any of the prior art references, and it is being used to make it easier to remove the exposed portion of the insulating material, which a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand to mean removing an amount sufficient to allow the subsequent planarization step to be shorter. I wanted to address also the point that the other side made about removing only the top layer of the molecules. What we're referring to there is where the etching is supposed to occur. The use of the definite article is indicating that is the area where you're supposed to remove the oxide. I think that the written description makes clear that it's not just a small amount of oxide that needs to be removed. In column 6 of the patent, it says the prior art teaches that the amount of time it takes to remove the oxide on top of the narrow active regions is sufficiently short in duration to not have oxide erosion in the shallow isolation trenches. And so the specification teaches that the amount of oxide that should remain over the wide active regions after the end of the removing step should be no greater than the amount of oxide that's originally found on the narrow active regions. That we believe, supports the argument that you need to only remove an amount of oxide that is sufficient to reduce the amount of time it takes for the subsequent planarization step. There are no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Matsui.